Martha, Roy, John, thank you. Are you breathing with me in this moment and the sounds of silence? You know, when we seek as spiritual humanity to know God, it takes us on journeys into places that we cannot fathom with our human, physical, intellectual brain. And it invites us into an experience that goes beyond the words, that goes beyond all the practices, that takes us into what I talked about last week in Moments of Light. It takes us into that place of the mystical. It takes us into the realm beyond that which we tend to view our world in an outer sense. And it always touches me deeply. And in moments that I don't expect, some have greater depth, some have a joyousness and a gaiety, some are just move in my heart and dance and sing, and music particularly does that. So I'm grateful and thank you for all that you've shared. So this will be the last Sunday in continuing the series of You Asked For It. And last Sunday, I spoke to the question that Emil Toth had submitted around, would you be willing to share a special spiritual moment that you have had? And I was so grateful for the opportunity to do that. And it fit right along with the next question that was put forward to this week, that was submitted by Tanidra Plogle. And she asked, and this is a question I think we all ask, okay, so when you're meditating and when you're in prayer and all those yamma, 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 yamma thoughts come in, how do you get them out of there, right? Has anybody ever like kind of struggled with that? Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about it today, and we might look at it a little differently than you expect. But I just want to say that prayer has been an integral part of my life and my journey, and it has evolved and changed in my own understanding as I've grown, as I've participated in, as I've been a part of. And the thing that I want to start with, first of all, is remembering what I shared from last week, that the moments of prayer, the experience of the presence of God, lies in the mystical realm. It lies in those moments that we do not necessarily plan ahead. It lies in the moments when we open ourselves to the flow of spirit. And see, when we take a look at, well, why do we pray? Why do you pray?
Because we recognize we are not able to do everything that we want.
There we go. Anybody else resonate to that one? We recognize sometimes we're not able to do everything we want. What else? For giving thanks. We pray to give thanks. What else? I'm sorry. Divine direction. So we seek wisdom. We seek guidance. To communicate. We communicate in order to be one with. Because we are seeking the guidance. We are seeking creative inspiration. We may be lonely, and we may be seeking to have our hearts infilled with a sense of unconditional love and blessing. We may be grieving, and we want the comfort. And so we pray for many different reasons and at different times. And often we practice ahead. So that in those moments when we are overwhelmed, when we lose a job, when we lose a partner, when we lose a loved one, when we face a difficult health diagnosis, when we have crisis in our world, such as Charlottesville, when we experience things that come flying at us, if we have not created that connection ahead of time, it's a little more difficult in the moment. It's not impossible, and thank goodness, because God is everywhere present, right? Omnipresent, all around us. And we don't understand sometimes what that means. But we begin to discover what it means as we begin to develop a relationship with that which we would call Creator, creation, all that is, Yahweh, divine pure being. So I forgot to say the talk title for today. Thanks, Jan. Listening to mind, body, and spirit. So this invitation, Janine was really asking about how do I pray better, right? That's kind of how we think. How do I pray better than I'm doing? You know, and it's always a challenge because usually where that question comes from, where does that come from? Yeah, Lord, you get a gold star today. Comes from the brain, the intellect, the mind that seeks to control and know things because it does have that function to help our bodies move. So that's its natural thing to do. Yet we are invited in prayer into an entirely different realm. So in Teach Us to Pray, the book by Charles and Cora Fillmore. Cora was Charles' second wife after Myrtle passed away. They say prayer is man's steady effort to know God. There's an intimate connecting spirit that unites man in his source. God-mind composed of radiant ideas, vibrant life, glorious new inspiration is ours to see. Is ours to use. Man builds spiritual character by consciously functioning in God-mind, where laying hold of spiritual ideas through Christ or through the Christ consciousness that is then attained, he realizes the truth they contain. And as he thus weaves them into his soul consciousness, they become a part of his very nature. They become a part of our nature, friends, because we have been willing to step outside this. How many times do I do this to you? But it is such a graphic thing. Come on, everybody, I know you've done it. Put one hand up, not even two, just one. It's like, and close the other eye, and it's like, what do you see? Not much, right? Okay, that's the intellect of the brain and all the ideas and thoughts and beliefs we've tucked in there. That's what it sees. And then when you just go like that and open both eyes, it's like, wow, I have to do that a lot. It's real graphic. It's a great prayer for me. When all I can see is the problem, I do this. It's very effective. And then I go, because that is surrendering the intellect brain part of our mind's control over and moving into something different, that which is greater than our human selves. From scripture in Matthew 7:7-8, many of you are familiar. I love this scripture. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Okay, it didn't say, okay, for everyone who prays in exactly the right way. Did it say that? No. For everyone who asks. Friends, so as we're exploring the process of praying rightly, what we can first begin to let go of, breathe, is that there's a right way. You know, there's every kind of teaching and practice out there that all have wonderful wisdom to share with us. And if one of them resonates for you and it works well, that's a great way to go. Just have that understanding that there isn't any right way. that prayer, as Peace Pilgrim's quote from last week said, prayer is a continual conversation with God. See, God isn't sort of out there somewhere with the door closed, the window shut, until we go and knock. Though scripture says that, but is referring to something different than that. It's like when we open our hearts and our minds and are willing and receptive, we realize that, Spirit is with us all the time. God is not somewhere closed off from us. God is in every breath that we take, is in the air around us, is in everything. The people we meet, the circumstances we face, there is the flow. So if we're to be engaging in prayer, I believe what it requires is listening, the asking, the willingness to open. Because when we listen, when we begin to be willing to receive, what we do is we open the channel that takes us beyond what we know already and what we're trying to control everything within. Oh, well, I lost my job, so that means this, 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 and this, right? Oh, I have to look for a job. Oh, I have to do this, this, and this. Those are the first thoughts that come up to us. It's survival. That's normal. And yet, if we can then take it the next step and say, oh, but I'm willing to let it go, to not have to figure it out, to not control it for this moment. Mother Teresa, you're all familiar with Mother Teresa, she said, God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer. And Edward Keith, who was a prayer coach, goes on to say, and I love this, prayer is exhaling the spirit of man and inhaling the Spirit of God. Wow. See, I'm willing. Okay, everybody, exhale all the doubts, the fears, the concerns, and inhale that Spirit that infills us, that instills in us a sense of peace, a sense of comfort beyond outer circumstances. Because in that moment, our mind isn't on that treadmill of figuring it out. That's what keeps us stuck. When we go round and round and round, according to old circumstances and old situations, when we breathe that out and then we breathe in the Spirit of God, we are in the present moment to all that is. And Jan, from the slide that had Charles Fillmore on it, Francis Foulkes, back in 1928, wrote a book, Effectual Prayer, and Unity actually published it in 1948, and it became a part of what Unity used as its teachings. It's an amazing book to this day. And out of it, she says, true prayer is communion with God. Become still enough to hear the God message, open enough to receive the God gifts. So friends, as we're seeking in our everyday lives with all the circumstances and all the things that come up, the joys we want to celebrate, the challenges we are seeking to find answers to, the creative inspiration that we want to lay hold of and allow to move through us, we're invited to recognize that prayer is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process. And in any moment when we stop to remember that, to breathe, to just be present, it shifts our consciousness out of how we view our world into a place of allowing the flow of pure spirit. Now, we are very familiar with Jesus saying, the Father and I are one. The Father and I are one. And oftentimes that was misunderstood to mean Jesus was saying, I am God and God is me. Well, in a sense, we are all the living presence of God. God is in all of us. But it got mistaken. Jesus was not the incarnation of God and the only incarnation of God that came to walk on this planet, what Jesus was saying is, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. We are one. Friends, and that is what we seek in prayer. We seek to come into an alignment with that higher presence. And it lies in the mystical realm. So our brains want to figure it out and know how to do it so that we do it right, so that we can change our circumstances, so we can make something be different, so we can make it turn out how we think it should, as opposed to the opportunity of opening to the amazing and limitless flow of endless possibility that we don't even know yet, which is that divine mind, which is laying hold of, as Charles says, the substance of all creation in ways that take us beyond what we know and we see out here on day-to-day life. It is that mystical realm, and our heart calls for it. Our heart calls for it. Brother Lawrence says, there is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Now that doesn't mean we shut out the world, we drop to our knees, we have to do a formalized prayer. It means our willingness to walk mindfully, to walk with awareness, to know that there is something so much greater than just what we see here, and to be willing in any moment, those moments of light come, we least expect them. We may ask questions and feel we don't get an answer and then the minute we're not paying attention, what happens? An inspiration comes in, right? Or something shifts. And I will tell you, you know, in times of prayer for myself, when I have been challenged and when I have asked and I feel that there's not an answer, and I'm like, man, this isn't working. And how do I do this? And what's wrong? How many of you go to what's wrong with me? I must be really bad if I can't get through, right? And I don't know the timing, because to me it might be an hour, it might be a day, it might be a month or longer. I don't know the timing. Yet when I stay in the heart of my being, that's the listening part. When I am willing and open and ready to allow that flow of spirit to come, all of a sudden it practically bites me on the butt. Have you ever experienced that? I'm like, where the heck did that come from? Abel's raising his hand long. Yeah, friends. It was like, you know, the board of trustees and all of us as a congregation, as we are holding in our consciousness this new spiritual home that we're moving towards. Because it isn't about the building itself as much as the consciousness that we all hold in wanting to come together as spiritual community. And so the advisory team is looking at this place and that place, and we're exploring all these different, an old church or an old office building or a new place or a this and a that. And we look and we say, does this work and this work? You know, and I'm driving down the street and all of a sudden, I have no idea where this came from. A modular building. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. So you put that out because it's one of those divine inspirations that may lead to something that works for us, so we don't have to build from scratch, but we could have a little bit more creativity. And it may not be something, but it may lead to a resource other than just that. And see, friends, that's the spirit and the voice of God that moves through us. It brings these little divine ideas. Or all of a sudden, have you ever just kind of not gone the same way home? And then you ran across a store or, you know, maybe a farmer's market or something, vegetables to buy. And you go, oh, I'm so glad I went this way. Or a new restaurant you'd never seen before. Or an old friend that's walking on the street. You know, friends, it's our willingness to shift from our expectation and our control of how we want things to be in order to move in the flow of the open river of divine inspiration that comes from pure being. In Scripture, from Deuteronomy 30, it says, "Love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." And from Psalm 78:1, it says, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Be open. Listen. Be receptive. And in that receptivity, the sky and beyond is the limit. And so in addressing Janine's question about, okay, so coming back to that monkey mind, I forgot to bring my little monkey mind guy. Yeah, that little voice that just natters away at us, right? How do we get rid of that? Well, you know, so much has shifted in a lot of the practice of praying, of meditation. There's a great deal of focus on what is now called mindfulness prayer or meditation. And we're aware of it for reasons of health, because it allows us to shift into a place where we relax and let go. And what mindfulness says is, you don't have to get rid of your thoughts. Because you know what? Do you see this elephant right in the middle of the room? Okay, now get it out of your head. Okay, push that elephant out. And now you're thinking about the elephant, aren't you? You're thinking, now what's she going to do with that stupid elephant? What's up? Yeah, don't our brains do that? To try and get rid of that silly elephant in the middle of the room, which are all of our thoughts, all of our fears, all of our whatevers, only makes us focus on it more, doesn't it? Yeah. So mindfulness invites us into a practice of relaxing, of becoming aware of our breath, and of just moving into this now moment as much as possible. Again and again. And embracing when the thoughts come in, just go, well, hello, there you are, thoughts. Focus once again on the breathing. Focus on the light of the beauty of the sky. Focus on being present and simply returning and embracing all that is. Because when we try to control and force those thoughts to go away, it is where our mind continues to run. It is where we are putting our energy. So it seems simple. It is a practice to engage in because, you know, we're pretty used to and kind of addicted. I'm addicted to many of my thoughts. And I can just run it and run it and run it. You know, if something frightens me or concerns me in my life and it triggers, and then, have you ever had somebody else say something, you know, and just when you thought, okay, no, I'm cool. Some of you know, I recently was bit by a neighborhood dog. So I'm trying to, you know, sort of wend my way through all of these things. And then everyone's going, oh, you know, but you have to be careful of rabies. And instantly I go, oh, what? Everything in me closed down. So then, okay, how many of you have had this? Now I start having these sensations. I'm like, okay, oh, what does my leg feel like? Oh, my head is kind of weird. Oh, you know, do you do that or am I the only one? Come on. Yeah, exactly. And then I'm what? Then what's next? On the internet, right? Internet MD, Google something MD. And then I read some of that. And then I'm like, oh my God. And then I read something else. Oh yeah, no, that's good. You know, and it's so funny, friends, because that's what we do. We're human. That's what our minds do. But when we're talking about mindfulness, about prayer differently, we're talking about just breathing into this now moment. Because where the fear comes in is, okay, what's going to happen to me next, right? I don't know, and I've just spent, you know, half an hour Googling and doing all this stuff and closed down and everything. And it's wasted time in that sense. And as each moment comes with whatever comes there, when I am mindful and connected to God, I will find the resources, I will find the strength, I will find whatever is necessary in that moment, just in that moment. So this is the practice of prayer. This is the practice of mindfulness, of just noticing. I noticed when my mind started to race, and then I brought it back. It took me a little while. You know, fear's kind of strong. Then I practiced some more mindfulness. Practice some more breathing. Practice being present. And then thoughts came back up. That elephant galloped into the room. But see, friends, this is what the practice of prayer is all about. And when we establish that connection with God, that oneness that Jesus talked about, the Father and I are one, meaning we are in alignment energetically. We are connected. I have every resource necessary for me. When we practice that throughout our daily lives and that constant communication with God, then when we do have challenges in our life, when we do have things that come up to bite us on the leg or wherever, we have the strength and that resource to return to spirit and to know that we are okay. I really love this quote from Pema Chodron, who is a Buddhist teacher and an author. She was a nun. She said, "Meditation practice isn't about trying to throw ourselves away and become something better. It's about befriending who we already are." And Shogyam Trungpa, who was a Buddhist meditation master who Pema actually studied under, said, "Altogether, the idea of meditation is not to create states of ecstasy and absorption. We sort of thought we had to go into some other realm, but to experience being, simply to experience being. That's what meditation is about. And it can be done whether we're out exercising, whether we're doing the dishes, whether we're doing laundry, whether we're engaged in a fun activity with friends and family, we're watching the campfire. It's everywhere all around us. Prayerful connection with God results through our continuous desire for oneness. Prayerful connection with God results through our continuous desire for oneness. The Father and I are one." In the words of Jesus, calling us to that which we call the Christ consciousness. Let us embrace that in our mindfulness as we go forward, each day celebrating the opportunities there, breathing into the moment, being present, and knowing that we have every resource that we need in each present moment as we go forward.